Well, there's the fanfare. That means it's time to welcome movie critic Matt Olien in studio. You have seen a couple films, so always around the Oscar time, We're doubling up on films here. And this first one you want to talk about looks pretty epic.
Boy, 1917, the World War I film directed by Sam Mendes, who, of course, won the Oscar 20 years ago for directing American Beauty.
That's 20 years old.
It's 20 years old, and he's gunning for his second directing nomination, or he actually got a nomination, but his second win. So this is a phenomenal motion picture. And from a marketing standpoint, they held this film back from general release till last week. And it was a stroke of genius because Star Wars had kind of run through about 3 weeks, and lo and behold, 1917 took the top spot at the box office last weekend because of the hype. Sometimes they do this in award seasons. They'll let the LA and New York critics see it in December, and then we here in the Midwest and the hinterlands get to see it on January 10th. So the big trick of this film is how they shot it. So two soldiers, British soldiers, are given orders by Colin Firth, who plays a high-ranking colonel or general, that they have to travel. We're not sure how long, but it's a bit of a hike to get to this division to call off an attack because it's a trap and they're going to get massacred by the Germans. So one of the two soldiers who's sent, his brother is an officer in that division. So he's trying to save his brother as well. The two soldiers are played by Dean Charles Chapman, who was King Tommen in Game of Thrones, and George MacKay, who really gives a wonderful performance. So that's basically it. We follow them through their journey, through all kinds of hell, all kinds of trauma, to try, I'm not going to tell you what happens, try to get to the front lines to warn Benedict Cumberbatch, who's the colonel in charge, to call off the attack. And through this journey, there are literally a handful of edits in the whole film. It's basically like you're watching a theatrical play. The camera follows the two soldiers. Everything has to be on cue. I can't even imagine the rehearsal time for this. If one thing goes wrong, they have to start again. Most films are cut together, which does help with emotion sometimes, with, you know, dissolves and cutting from close-up to close-up. This time it's all a roving camera, kind of almost prowling after the two actors. And it really creates a phenomenal cinematic experience. Some people have complained the film isn't emotional enough for them because there's no cutting, no close-ups, not a lot of close-ups. I found it to be emotionally affecting. Along the way, we see four major stars. Colin Firth, Benedict Cumberbatch, look for Richard Madden from Game of Thrones, who played Robb Stark, Mark Strong. They're like little placeholders along the way as these two soldiers go along their way, meet these officers who are usually played by bigger stars than they are. But it's a phenomenal experience. Certainly will take its place as one of the great World War I films ever, along with All Quiet on the Western Front and Paths of Glory with Kirk Douglas.
And then the other film that you saw, a very different kind of action told in a very different kind of way, Bombshell.
So I saw this a couple weeks ago, been kind of holding this one back. Got three Oscar nominations. Margot Robbie, who plays kind of a composite character. She's a very ambitious young journalist who wants to anchor at Fox News. And Charlize Theron plays Megyn Kelly in an uncanny performance.
I thought it was Megyn Kelly in the trailer.
It's a phenomenal piece of acting. She's got Megyn Kelly's mannerisms down. Megyn Kelly has tweeted her support of this performance, apparently, because she's seen it. And the third nomination was makeup and hairstyling, which you can understand that because we're at Fox News and, you know, appearance is a huge thing at Fox News. So John Lithgow plays Roger Ailes. The film takes place during the 2016 presidential campaign, when Ailes was eventually accused of sexual harassment by Gretchen Carlson, who's played by Nicole Kidman. And she kind of has that Minnesota accent down. Gretchen Carlson, of course, from the Twin Cities. So that's what the film's about. I wanted it to be a little deeper. The performances are great, but I have a feeling that director Jay Roach, I just wanted a little bit more gravitas. It almost feels like it's a two-hour soap opera. There are some interesting editing techniques. The film starts with Charlize Theron talking to the audience. here's what you're about to see. So there are some interesting, you know, breaking the fourth wall techniques that are used, and each character has that moment in the film to kind of break the fourth wall, whether it's Megyn Kelly or Gretchen Carlson or Margot Robbie as the composite character. But what really drives this film are the three performances by the three female stars I mentioned, and Charlize Theron is right at the top of that. So it's a watchable film. It's interesting to go behind the scenes as to what happened at Fox News, how Roger Ailes' behavior was covered up over the years.
Has Fox News said anything?
I have not noticed any commentary. You know, typically if Fox News talks about movies, it's usually negative, you know, Hollywood, left wing, et cetera, et cetera. I have not really heard much reaction. I mean, Roger Ailes is now dead, and so I know Megyn Kelly liked the film, and what I found unrealistic in a couple of the parts is there's a point in the film where kind of the lid is off, and Gretchen Carlson has filed her suit, and she's looking for other women to step forward, and of course, they're hesitant at first. And there's a couple scenes where Megyn Kelly, Charlize Theron, is kind of walking through the newsroom asking women if they were harassed. I can't believe she would have done that in kind of an open newsroom way. Mm. That's more of a private conversation. I could be wrong, but that seemed a little unrealistic to me. But go to see it for the performances. That's the big thing.
A big thing for you is Oscars, mm-hmm. and we got the nominations this week.
Yes.
So anything surprise you?
I was surprised Joker led the way with 11 nominations. Joker's a really good film, but for it to have the most nominations tells me the Academy really likes this movie. Now, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood had 10, 1917 had 10, and The Irishman had 10. So they're all right in the mix. Parasite got 6 nominations, the excellent South Korean film. But that tells me a couple things. It tells me that Joaquin Phoenix clearly is the favorite to win Best Actor as Joker. He kind of gave a rambling, slurring speech at the Golden Globes, and you're kind of wondering, does the Academy really want him up there without a teleprompter? You never know what Joaquin's going to say. But I think their love of this film shows that he probably is the front runner. I think Best Picture, Ashley, is really going to come down to 1917, which now has the momentum, versus Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I can see a split where 1917 gets Picture and Tarantino finally gets his Best Director Oscar. He does have 2 screenplay Oscars. I could see that happening as well. But overall, the nominations were pretty good. I like the acting nominations for the most part. There's a couple I wish would have gotten in. Lupita Nyong'o in Us would have been a nice nomination. Awkwafina, so good in The Farewell. And the one category I thought they mangled was supporting actress. Zhao Shuzhen, who played the old grandmother in The Farewell, is so good. I don't know how she was left off that list. Jennifer Lopez should have been nominated for Hustlers. Instead, they put in Kathy Bates and Richard Jewell, which is not a very good film from what a lot of critics have said. Mm. And does Scarlett Johansson need that second nomination for Jojo Rabbit? I'm not a big Jojo Rabbit fan. She's great in Marriage Story. That's a fine nomination.
Was, yeah.
But I think they could have made that category a little stronger. Now I think Laura Dern is clearly the favorite in Marriage Story.
All right. So I have a trivia question for you. So we'll go back to the first film that you did, 1917. Mm-hmm. Like you said, very few edits in this
yes.
film. Obviously, it was not all shot in one take.
No, it was
but
not. It looks
made
like
to
it
look
was.
Like that. Mm-hmm. And that technique with the hidden edits is sort of first credited as used in what 1948 film?
Rope by Alfred Hitchcock.
Yeah,
he basically
no
shot
past,
a play.
Yep. All right. We've been in the movies with Matt O'Lean.